people, and there's a fire pit, and you're there, and you're like,
your clothes.
I don't remember anything, but you know, you the next morning or something, you pick your clothes up, and you're like, oh my gosh,
I remember that.
I stink.
Oh, yeah. It is so good.
And it does. It permeates.
Permeates.
And, this morning we opened up with a word in Isaiah 43, and it's really a word that it's God challenging us that we're so used to our fears, we're so used to our anxieties, we're so that we've actually made friends with them, sort of, and he's challenging us to like step away from the fear and watch what he does with it. And so I think that this image you had of him breaking in to us versus us breaking out, it's like
under the door, and I was like, that's usually a bad thing. When smoke's coming under the door, it's a bad thing. And he's like, no, but let me show you the flip side, the spirit side of that, and permeating everything. And I was like, that was awesome.
Wow. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were really talking about this, the lie of insignificance. Do you remember that? And that we're stuck in this lie of separation. Really, it's disconnect. It's that we're alone. It's that God is out here and we're back here, right? And we're sort of left to like muscle through conflict. What's this?
What I brought today.
Oh my gosh! First word says, "I am significant."
Oh wow!
Oh, I'm gonna put this right here. I'm gonna look at this in 2 seconds. That's funny. Isn't that fun?
That's fun.
So we gave a word, so we defined it, right? That lie of separation, that lie of insignificance, it's really just the, you know, if you look up sin in the dictionary, that's what should be next to it, because that's the lie. And that's what feeds that activity of hiding in fear and anxiety and pulling back and doing stupid, right? But it's that lie of disconnection, and it's a horrible lie. And why Paul challenges us is we're starting to get this waking up, this revelation of, wait a second, here's what truth is, right? Jesus called it the gospel, but this is the good news. And it's the opposite of that lie of separation. It's the opposite of that lie of significance. And so when Paul talks to us, to the early church, he's talking about renewing the mind. He's really talking about capturing this new truth. Like, this is what, feed yourself on this.
Right.
Let this drive you. Let this feed your activities. Let this supply you. And I won't rebuild the thing how we sometimes call that, you know, people call that pride, that would be so proud or confident or bold. But really it's this, we settle on this truth that it's like our confidence is because it's because of God that we have this realization that we are entirely connected to him. We're completely connected to him. We're inseparable from him. And when you have this revelation, when you have this awareness, and that's all of a sudden you realize all my thinking is going through that picture, all my dreaming is happening through that relationship, how I process conflict or struggle in my life is all filtered through this. It's like you have this incredible confidence of who you are. It's not denying the crap. It's not denying the conflict or the tragedy or the sickness. It's not denying that. It's how my response to it is filtered through, oh my gosh, this is where I've got to walk through that, right? So I wanna to look at that thought of insignificance. I've been told I don't peek into the Old Testament too much sometimes, so I want to peek into the Old Testament, right? So I want to use as a backdrop the book of Judges. So if you're tracking what's happening, if you're a reader of the Old Testament, or maybe you don't know much about it, so Judges is sort of like the sequel to the book of Joshua, right? And so what's kind of going on is the nation is going through this political and religious kind of turmoil, right? They're like crashing and burning constantly. Because really what they're doing is they're off following their promise of possessing the land. And sometimes they get out ahead of God, like instead of partnering with him, they go and try to do it on their own, right? Connected and disconnected. And so they end up like, it's this process of connecting and disconnecting. In fact, one of the tribes of the 12 tribes almost gets taken out. I can't remember which one it is. One or two of them almost get removed from existence because of this disconnecting process. So it's this pattern of behavior. They rebel really through disconnection. And you would say disbelief, right? That's all this is. Can I do this for disconnection?
Yeah.
Disbelief, a word that you'll see pop up in the Old Testament, idolatry, right? Because as they do this, what are they doing? They're separating from their source and connecting to something else,
right?
So idolatry and disbelief, and what happens as they do this, inevitably, they get smacked, right? So you see this cycle of oppression happens, and then God raises up a judge, but what's the judge doing? Reminding them of this, right? So he reminds them of their connection. They draws them back to God. The people repent, they come back into connection, and then what happens? So, right? And so you see in this, you see in Judges, you know, because we've got, let's see, who's in there? We've got
Samuel.
So Gideon, we see, so this is Samson. Samson's in there, Deborah's in there. There's a couple others, and I don't remember there, but they're all these kinds of people, right? Reminding them who they are, okay? So, God's fun how he brings connectors in your life.
Yeah.
I think that's something of what's happening here, by the way.
Right.
We're connectors. We're just reminding you this is your story.
Right.
This is what's true.
Right.
And we're just pouring water and worshiping into that truth, right? So that's the backdrop, right? Mm-hmm. So in Judges, Israel's been beaten down. They've been oppressed for a long time. There's a Disney Pixar movie. What's the bug one with the ants?
Yeah.
Bug's Life, right? I always think of, when I think of this story, right? So they're all hiding underground, and then, I shouldn't even have said that. This popped in my mind just now, but it's like the grasshoppers, right?
Hopper and his gang.
Remember the grasshoppers come and they're like the mean. That's like what's happening here. They're the bad guys, the oppressors are coming in and demanding all the produce and the fruit of their labors.
And all the food.
Yeah, and taking all the food. That's what's happening in this time here in Judges, right? So just think Bug's Life. Okay? And they're demoralized. Right. They're hurting. They literally, there's no connector that's popped up.
Doubt.
Yeah. And
hopelessness.
And you're like
physically hungry.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then we start to get this scene that pops up in front of us in scripture in the midst of all this. And it's Gideon, and it is absolutely confronting this lie of insignificance. Insignificance, right? Lie of separation. And it starts by him calling Gideon a mighty man of valor, right? So let's get into that. We know that God had warned them, Israel, this would happen. And he told them in Judges 6, verse 10, he said to them, I'm the Lord your God, don't fear. Don't fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But he said, you have not obeyed my voice, right? How do we know they didn't obey?
They're hiding.
Right? And because of the disconnect, what do we do when we disconnect? Here's the true God. Here's the one who's my source. When we disconnect and go into hiding, we start looking for something else to fit that answer, right?
Connect.
Something else to connect to, right? So now you've got, they have connected with all these other gods of all these other communities, all these false gods, right? And that's their story, right? So now that's how we know they didn't listen to God, right? And I made this statement a couple Sundays ago. I said, you and I become like what we worship. Remember that statement? Mm-hmm. You and I become like what we worship, right? So maybe it's the same coin or the other side of it. Another way to talk about it might be, we could say fear infects what you worship. Okay? Fear infects what you worship. Look, here's an easy one. Here's a good answer to that one if you're trying to get, okay, build me a list, Danny. Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says in Matthew, when he's talking about our relationship with finances, right? He says this in Matthew 6. You will love the one and hate the other, or you will hold to one and despise the other. So fear steps, fear comes in and affects our life to the point that it influences what we worship. So what is the person, if I fear going broke, what do I see myself doing with money?
You're wasting. No,
just opposite, right? Hoarding. We're hoarding it. We're holding on to it because I'm not going to have enough, right? So do you see what happened? Right? Because of my fear,
you're holding on to your fear.
Yeah, and I hold on more tightly. It literally infects my response to life.
And
right?
It's something that you're esteeming. It's, you could say you're worshiping it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're putting your faith in this thing, and so I'm doing this with it, right? And there, by the way, there's lots of these. That's just it's an easy one that pops out, right? How we respond to money, right? So
the flip side of that could be, if you have that response, if finances is your focus and fear causes you to hoard it, then if you flip that coin and say, God is my focus, and I hoard my, protect my relationship with that.
Oh, good.
There you go, connect your Karen, right? You would earn the title judge in this book. You know, judges were like, it's not, our thinking with judge, by the way, is that one that's sitting at the gavel,
dispensing justice.
Yeah, right. And that was part of it. But the other part of it's almost like the
truth speaker.
Yes, that's a great way of saying it.
Therapist back.
I like that one too. The counselor, almost pastoral, mm-hmm. right? Challenging lies, right? So they're, wow. I like that. I should write some of those down. right. The Lord comes in and he presents himself to Gideon, right? And Gideon is hiding, right? Do you know, anybody know where he was hiding?
I thought he was hining the wine press.
He's hiding in what? How about this? Hiding in a wine press. What was he doing in the wine press?
Threshing wheat.
Now,
which doesn't belong there.
Right! And so he's hot because he's trying to, The grasshoppers are coming to take his wheat, so they're hiding the wheat from the grasshoppers, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here, from the Amorites. So he's hiding in this wine press. Now, this is another thought I had this morning. This has nothing to do with the word, so I should probably stop recording.
Danny's thought.
Rabbit trail! And so I remember Mrs. Brackett, my English teacher, and we would always read the classics, right? So it's like the works of Shakespeare, or then you're, you know, reading some of those other
Grapes of Wrath.
Yes, we read Grapes of Wrath. So it's like I was always in these accelerated programs, and so you're always like tearing through these books, and you get into these discussions, you know, what did the river represent? And it's like, how about, can't it just
water.
Be a river? You know? Oh, it represented oppression and freedom and breaking this, and I'm thinking, what? Anyway, so I'm not an image guy, but it is interesting, the wheat and the wine,
the bread.
There's a story there. I'm not on that rabbit trail, but there's a story there about the wheat, the bread, the word, and the wine, the Holy Spirit of the New Covenant. There's a story there. Somebody want to preach it, right? So that's what he's doing. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. Right.
Okay, Dion, you got your homework.
Come on, someone's got it. I know that'll
Andy.
Go. Judges 6, verse 12. And the lame angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Come on, that's... First off, let's laugh, right? Because what's he doing?
Hiding.
You know,
he's hiding!
The whole time, all I can see is this little guy going,
"What?" That's
it,
right!
Like, what?
And he is. So the Lord comes in and says, he says, "Mighty man of valor." And here's the other part that's funny, right? Verse 13. Gideon says to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our father told us about?"
Yep.
Right? There's an angel in front of him. Where's the miracles?
But don't we do that all the time?
And there's an angel in front of him.
Give me a sign. Where's a sign.
Yeah. Come on. I just thought that. Sorry.
That's so funny.
I just
really
find
funny.
That hilarious. Where's the miracles? And there's a mighty man of valor, and I'm hiding in fear. If we see that he called Peter a rock, and he acted more like a broken reed.
Right.
And so here's something for you to take home and chew on. You can dream on it this week. The Lord has a name for you that's opposite of
how you feel about yourself.
That's it right there. He's a name for you that's opposite your biggest fear.
So good.
He has a name for you that's opposite what you would say is your biggest weakness. Right? He has a name for you. And when he meets with you, he calls you that name. And he's calling you out of that place.
And then you set him straight.
Then he sets you straight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Paul says renew your mind, you know what we're renewing it to? This is how I see me. This is how God sees me.
Right.
This is how I see this situation. This is how God sees this situation. Right, so we're literally moving our perspective to see that this is how heaven sees this. This is how the kingdom responds to this. Right, one of the challenges, another rabbit hole. One of the challenges we get in life is someone, even both, especially maybe believers, challenging that thought, saying that you're, you know, denying what's happening. You're like a denier. We're not denying that there's bad things.
Yeah.
We're not denying that you might be having a really hard time. What we're saying is, am I going to approach that really hard time living this way?
Right.
Or can I approach it this way? And one comes with confidence, one comes with strength, one comes with security and peace, right? That's still there, and we're asking heaven to change that response, right? Mm-hmm. But me stepping into agreement with this is what he says about that. This is what he says about me, right? Is all we're doing is speaking heaven's language.
Right.
And by the way, that step of, hey, I've been thinking this way about it. I'm thinking this way. That word in scripture is called repentance.
Right.
That's it. There we just de-religiousized. Is that a word? Repentance. That's all it is, right? And when you say things like heaven's saying them about situations and about yourself, I'm a mighty man of valor, and I don't feel that way. Am I lying? No, I'm confessing.
Right.
This is
it.
I'm just saying what God says. It's my confession. So repentance and confession. Confession isn't saying. If your confession is I suck, I would say I don't know who you're confessing to, but that's not God's confession.
Right.
Confession is just agreeing with God's words, right?
Well, if someone came to you and said, well, you're just denying the reality of how garbage it is up here, and you're like, I'm not denying the truth of what the situation appears to be, I'm agreeing with the Lord in his way, because he looks at the heart.
And we've used this, here's an example, we've used it before. Like, you have this a loud, noisy, unresponsive, difficult child. And you say to that difficult child, you're amazing. You're such an amazing son. And you listen so well.
They're like, well.
But isn't that
causes them to pause.
They pause. Right. So by releasing that word, that's what it did. It's like all of a sudden their heart just went. Now they're choice. You're nuts. But even in that pausing, what's happening?
The seeds being planted.
Something's coming inside.
Right.
It's shifting a heart. It's.
And you can only grow as tall as your ceiling is.
And the fun part about the seeds planting is they tend to come closer.
Right.
But they're stepping in for more. They're stepping in for another word.
Well,
want this, by the way.
So you tell someone they're amazing, they're going to step closer.
You're wired for this. You're wired for connection, right? That's why. Oh, here's your other one. Take home and be the preacher of this. That's why we speak into destiny. That's why I think it's all about identity. That's why I think it's about this revelation of purpose. That's why we worship in that intimate place. I mean, what are we doing? It's like helping you wake up to what God really thinks about you. that's all that's happening in this whole journey. We're waking up to God. What does he really say? Even for people that don't believe him, there's something there that's wanting to believe. There's something there that's looking for a father. There's something there that's wanting connection and deeper relationship. He's a father who believes in them. He's a father who has a name for them. He made them. Because Judges 6:34 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The angel says this word to him, O mighty man of valor, to the hiding man. Right? It says, oh, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and blew the trumpet. And it says, and then the Abizarites gathered behind him. You know, verse 16 in this, I didn't write it down, but I wrote down the
verse.
Is
that where he says, I'm the least of the tribes?
Yes,
yep.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, how can this be? And oh, by the way, in this whole process of when he gives him an assignment, he's like, gulp. Right, and in fact, he challenges them, the fleece.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't get into that, but there's like, this can't be true. Because inside is like, you're saying this, I want to believe it, I think, but could you show me this? Could you show me this?
Right. Yeah.
And, but here's the thing. Because any time God says, I'll be with you, there's usually like a big assignment.
It's like when you see a sign on the road that, you know, passing lane 2 miles ahead, you know there's a hill.
Good, that's true. In Judges 6, in this conversation with the angel and Gideon, he says, and the angels, because he's hearing the doubts, he's hearing the comebacks, it's like, this can't be it, because he's probably getting nervous, and you're calling me to something, and God says, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Right? God, there's always an impossible assignment when we wake up to this. I'll be with you, right? Jesus, remember when Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was on him? Anybody remember that? It's in Luke, when he's in the tabernacle, and it says in the Spirit of the Lord, and he's echoing Isaiah, but then he goes and puts himself in that prophecy, and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, And he's anointed me, and there's some impossible things right there, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and then here's some impossible things. So he tells Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord is on you, right? It's, you know that the actual text doesn't actually say the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It literally reads, the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. I want you to picture a glove. I should have put right out here. The Spirit of the Lord put on Gideon. Okay. When it's it, the Spirit of the Lord put on Gideon. Right?
I always see the Russian dolls.
Yeah. And you're like this, oh man, we've used the term skin suit. I'm just the Spirit, Holy Spirit's skin suit. And, oh my gosh, he put on Gideon, which is like, can you see inside now that every thought that the Spirit's thinking is mine? Right, get his thoughts. Every action he's wanting to respond to is mine. Here's the beauty of that. He's accepting my personality. He's accepting my quirkiness.
Right. So
he's accepting the talents that I have that are different than Don's talents. Right? This isn't a and we said this last week, I think. This isn't a cookie cutter Jesus thing that says, Angie, you need to do exactly what Dion's doing and do exactly what I'm doing.
Or alien invasion.
Yeah. Right? So there's a way that Angie interacts with people and God says, I need that personality. I need that kind of gifting. It's like Angie on Halloween.
Iron Man.
Right?
Yeah.
There are going to be things that she, there's going to be assignments that Angie has that I would go, not me. Right? And there's going to be assignments I have that you would probably go, God's not afraid to use your personality. How about that?
God, well, he loves it.
There's a uniqueness about Scott. Mm-hmm. There's a uniqueness about Daniel. And it's like he's stepping into that saying, if you'll let me, like, put me, can I put you on? Right? Can you see yourself? The Holy Spirit just like consuming. Look, is it possible for my personality to be so merged with this, like that I've so stepped into this agreement, right? That, you know, is there, I guess there would be some pastors that would say, be careful because contamination, or you're going to, look, I'm not saying.
Most pastors just say, remember, don't forget, you're a sinner.
Don't forget you suck. Don't forget you fail. Don't forget, but God's going, oh, mighty man of valor, to the hiding guy. God says, aren't you the best listener to the rebellious one that's running away?
Right.
He knows who you are. And what's he doing as he comes in, as we start closing the gap, we're starting to reject all those other things, those sins. That sin is just us listening to the other story about who we are.
Right.
This is not who I am. So God's not confused about you. He's not tormented by you dealing with shame and guilt in your past, right? But he never, ever has defined you by it. He's actually come to help you, like, evacuate that from your thinker, to remove that from your life, right? So he's totally patient. And can we corrupt it? Can we corrupt his message? Well, sure, right? Because if we allow our biases, my personal pain, my past to come in and my experiences to reshape the God, I actually use it to kind of represent Jesus in a new way versus him coming
right,
this way.
Right,
yeah,
right.
We do that all the time, right? So I'm not interested in your pain re-influencing that or your past. That's why Paul says the old man's dead. Right? Don't pick him back up again. Don't revive the old man. God dealt with your past. God's forgiven your past. He doesn't remember it anymore. This is who you are. We're the ones who go back and pick it up again, right? So yeah, our personalities, our weaknesses kind of do get in the way, but he, there's a uniqueness about you that, let's just say it adds flavor.
Spice of life.
It adds that special Angie spice, that Beyond spice, the Cajun spice, right? Oh, I hope you brought your Angie spice today. And it complements him. Yeah.
Just, it's so contrary to what maybe I'll just say me, you know, through so many years of you have to die to yourself. Like the things about yourself are not good, and God has to come in, and if you're really following him, then you're gonna morph your ideas and, you know, all of that into him. Obviously that happens, but it ignores this thing that God made us with, the Angie spice, with the Dion spice,
yeah,
with that flavor. He did that on purpose and he uses it. He doesn't say set that aside to become like me. That is like you gather that and it is like him. Oh my gosh.
I, Darla, that's awesome.
Because
I mean,
it's like,
yeah,
the difference between slavery, which
yeah,
if you're living under a controller,
right,
that's
yeah,
exactly how it goes.
Right.
You will be exactly what I want you to be, when I want you to be, and how
right,
I want you to be.
It's not God.
But that's not the intimate relationship that God calls us to.
Right.
And so the difference is bridegroom.
Come on.
And bride.
That's a good word.
And then Danny was talking, you know, about how we can allow our past and different things try and transform our vision of Jesus when it's the opposite. When I got baptized 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, I was going through these profound experiences, and one was I knew I had to allow the Holy Spirit in my house, into my heart, to sweep up the broken glass to make room for Jesus. And that
yeah,
ties in with what you're
good
saying.
Good picture.
Wow.
Good picture.
Well, what I've discovered in the last year of our lives being questionable and full of change,
right,
is that fear is, I found a simple label for it. Fear is lack of faith in the future. Now, it's not faith in yourself, that's faith in God. Because faith in yourself, that's arrogance. So,
you know, Daniel, what Paul talks about us, the old man, you know, the old self. It's like we have this habit to stay married to the old man.
Right.
The word for that's fear. Right. That's where our fear is. So, take the fear away. If you take the fear away outside of you, right? Take the fear away. What's left behind is the pure you. It's the real you. It's your flavor spice with Jesus, right? That's the, take the fear away. There's the real you.
That's good.
Right? And that's why I love Jesus. Oh, it's like perfect love. Cast out fear, right? It really is reduced to the simplicity as we allow. And perfect love looks like this.
Right.
It looks like this total embrace. It's there's no inhibitions. You are like, man, I just want to be with you. I just want to connect with you. I just want to be close to you. And as this happens, those things that aren't the real you get pushed out. They just they get removed. And we're just learning on this journey. Okay, now what? Well, now what is, okay, I'm with you. Now here's the list of impossible things. Here's the list of, for Daniel's words, your future. This is what your future looks like now. So now I'm not afraid of my future. It's like, I'm not afraid of the surprise of tomorrow. I'm not afraid of the doctor report. I'm not disappointed by my bank account. It's like, from that place, fear doesn't get a vote. So the real you, the real, it's like God, and God's just looking for the skin suit of the real you that's not picking up that old marriage with fear, right? And he's literally, he's like proud to like be in that relationship with you. Hebrews says, God's not ashamed to call you his God.
Right.
It's like he's that.
That's
he,
so good.
He's looking for the real you in the skin suit. And he's inside every one of us. And there's the staying in this place, the drawing yourself deeper into this place, the building roots and moving from this place, learning how to breathe and respond from this place. Mm-hmm. Like we're some might call it the secret place, right? That the intimate place, the deep place. But it's like that, as we explore that, that's where trust kind of expands. That's where our confidence
right.
kind of builds. That's where we see ourselves walking in this adventure with God. And by the way, he doesn't mind showing himself off through you.
Mm.
And Moses, remember when Moses got his impossible assignment at the burning bush? Anybody know what he said to the impossible assignment? Who am I? Whoa, do you know my brother Aaron?
Yeah.
So what he said, he can speak well, he can lead well, he's a leader among men, right?
It wasn't what Moses said, it's what Moses did. He turned to look behind him both ways.
But Moses said, it's like, who am I? But the fun promise here that's buried for all of us is like, it was, if you look at, there's, I think it was Deuteronomy, but he says, it says, I talk to my prophets. You know what it says about his relationship with Moses? He says, but with Moses, it was face to face. So there's like, so the guy who says, who am I? God brags about, oh, this is how I know him. So we'll stop there. So God, open up our eyes to see us, to see me, to see ourselves the way you see us, God. God, we ask for the release of our name before you. So I pray for dreams and visions and confirming words that come and speak to that, us, to our assignment, to our destiny, our purpose, God. They just speak and stand against that weakness in our life, our greatest fears. God, you're not ashamed of us. You call us your kids, and you say you're not ashamed that you're our God. So God, we just say release the intimate secrets this morning. Release the face-to-face. God, we step in and ask for more Holy Spirit. Break through my mind and my heart this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.